You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani. The great.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters, the carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things that you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it was not, and it had to be done, it must get done. And you will get it done, because that's how that rolls. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can use a shortcut. BabaOshi.net, whatever search engine that you use, put in the search, BabaOshi, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times I give are Eastern times. Thursday from 7 to 8, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday at from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council for Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahemba is ready to take another group of our people on a trip of a lifetime. This time, March 29th, this month, March 29th to April 9th, 2024, going to Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Those are the trips that are upcoming, and if you go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and there's one that interests you,
and you feel you want to go on that, because prices are subject to change, but you can lock that price in by putting a down payment on it. Yep. Putting some money on it and just deposit on it. And $50. $500 definitely will do it. We'll hold it. Okay. All right. Africa for the Africans. And if you want to see pictures, family, of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha. Habesha, it was great at their program that I attended a few weeks ago, or last month for sure. But it was fantastic, the kind of work that they do, and the people that are involved is beautiful. It really is. It's beautiful. So Habesha deserves all the praise and glaze they get and the support that they should receive. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. Ledge, land for the environmental development for group economics. That's right. They have 12 projects in 6 African countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group because they deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, of human existence that is vital: food, water, clothing, and shelter. Join the Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. The Minister of Wellness is in Kenya and drawing big crowds. The Minister of Wellness will be there for a while, but you can go online to theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. He has a lot of new products. His information is there, what he's doing, his involvement. So check out the Minister of Wellness, Brother, excuse me, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness, a health expert. The other brother we deal with is, and Smy Pharmacy, my good brother, Brother Jabril, at Smy Pharmacy, him and his wife, here in Atlanta. His phone number is 770-765-7751, 770-765-7751. His email address is smyfarmacy@gmail, smayfarmacy@gmail.com, smyfarmacy. The Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, can't say enough. You need to go to the website, the Moses West MosesWestFoundation.org. You can get the information. You can see for yourself what is being done. The development of the atmospheric water generator, the AWG, that he helped. I'm telling you, it's the game changer. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying it is the solution. It is part of a solution because drought is real. Climate change is real. And this system, the atmospheric water generator, takes moisture out of the air, and it only deals with the H2O molecule. So if there's toxins, they're kicking that to the curb. You're not getting that. You're not getting that. I mean, when I had Moses West on the program last year, and if you can remember, there was a train derailment, I think it was Palestine, Ohio, spewing out toxic black smoke for miles. And I asked him, could the machine work in an environment like that? And he said, yes. It'll kick the toxins to the curb, work on the H2O molecule to prepare it. Once it is prepared, you open the tap, out comes clean, drinking, usable water. So, and that's what we need, family. We need water. Water is essential. Water is the elixir of life. It is essential. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End. And I live west of the West End. So it's on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And Ralph David Abernathy makes a north turn and becomes Cascade. It goes towards, Abernathy goes towards MLK, which is logical, right? Ralph David Abernathy and Martin Luther King, exactly. And Cascade continues west, and that's where I live. And so, but Wadada's is located right there in the heart of the East, in the West End, by the West End Mall, Shrine of the Black Madonna, Soul Veg, and many other businesses there in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. Man, she has a beautiful place. And now she can have book signings and presentations. She has use in the facility of the area downstairs. It's right off where her store is. Just walk right there. And there it is. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, and figurines, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we talk about or we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Located in Lithonia with my good brother, Kazim Diajamu. Lithonia is east of Atlanta. You take I-20, head east, and the exit, 74, right there for Lithonia, in the main street of Lithonia. So you exit, and you make a left onto the main street, stay, and now when you make a left from going east, you're going north. So stay north about a mile, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. And you can talk with my good brother, Kazim Diajamu, and check out all the things that he has to offer. Jump back in your car, head back the other direction. Now you're headed south, but still make a left onto I-20. The next exit is Turner Hill Road, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Go three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They had their Thursday night broadcast the other night, and this weekend they had their conference. Us lifting us. They didn't have the numbers. I'm quite sure they anticipated, and still trying to recover from the pandemic, from the COVID, and it's, you know, because the numbers in person was kind of sparse, but they also had the numbers to the brothers and sisters in other places was not as good as it. We all wish it could and should be, and it will be. So Baba Keeman and all the brothers and sisters of Us Lifting Us, you know, I support you. Always have, always will. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. I wish they would come to with us here, man, blogtalkradio.com, or you can listen by phone by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, where you can also give your questions, comments, or concerns about the topic that is being discussed on a Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Homeland Village, not open on Mondays, but open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, 2910. I wish I could have left early enough to maybe even stop by where Brother BG is, because I went to the basketball game, me and my grandson, this past Saturday in Macon, the Macon Coliseum. And it wasn't a good game, but it was okay. It was McEachern High School and their star player, Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey and a few other folks are going to go to Rutgers. Ace Bailey is cold. He is. And against Grayson, and Grayson had three or four top five players on that team. And unfortunately for McEachern, you know, Ace Bailey was not enough. And although me and my grandson, we fantasized and we said, hey, man, what if Ace Bailey beat these cats by himself? And it started to look that way because he had 16 points and by himself, and the other team had 20. But then, of course, they started building up their lead, and that 10-point lead seemed like a 30-point lead. So anyway, yeah, Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my good sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. And then Sanjay-Haiti, the work that Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. I know Haiti's in the news, how chaotic it is. Kenyans supposedly they're going to come to Haiti. Some Kenyan army. Gosh, this is madness. Stop this madness. Yeah, stop this madness, family. So anyway, let's go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, -Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti had his Common Sense Security this weekend. I was unable to deal with it because I'm taking my grandson to. I did a libation for the opening of the Hulu conference, and then I had to dash. Man, I tell you. But brothers and sisters, if you want to make a contribution to Ackerman Institute, and believe me, you know, they need it. You can go to PayPal and put in Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com for PayPal. You can go to YouTube. You can Cash App, brother. Go to Cash App. Go to Cash App. $YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make a contribution via Cash App. Also, to Ackerman House, if you want to purchase one of the books or some of the books that Baba Baruti has produced and written, just go to AckermanHouse.com. That's AckermanHouse.com. Okay. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I tell you, I love it. Mm-hmm. March 10th. Get my glasses here. March 10th. Have we relinquished our obligation to respond to the various crises of our people to the point that we are too paralyzed to plan for immediate and long-range crises? We are confused around this issue because decisions to prepare ourselves challenges, by its nature, the present power structure. That's right. It has to. The present power structure. We must become psychologically committed to the idea that wherever we are, whatever we are doing. At any time when our people's lives are in danger as a result of a natural disaster or unnatural crises, we will come to their aid. We must prepare and organize in anticipation of these possibilities. Dr. Mutulu Shakur, ancestor, Mutulu Shakur. Often by the time potentially conscious sleepers learn to think and to listen for the rumblings of the mindless, zombiatic, pale desert storm raging, our collective spirit is too little, too late. Watching for signs of an awakening of a genuine, motivated concern among the formerly vanquished is beyond painful. Watching their belated anguish reactively unfold and mature at the sight and realization of a preventable but now more entrenched chaos is beyond painful. Listening to their newfound frustrations and uncloaked rage dissipate into the darkness of their disbelief and defeat is beyond painful. And knowing that fear and ignorance await the weakest among them only a few nods away goes far beyond even this. Affirm, I am psychologically committed to the idea that wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, at any time when our people's lives are in danger as a result of a natural disaster or unnatural crises, I will come to their aid. Brothers and sisters, whatever I can do to help our people, whatever I can do, whatever sacrifices need to be made. March 11, men and women who are comfortable in chaos and selflessness have no concern with embracing any form of discipline. Bakari Ataba. Discipline is power. Repeat, discipline is power. You know, before I continue to read Baba Baruti, you know, I've always had this battle with this society and words. I think we're going to do a program on that. Just words that this society perpetuates that have different meanings and to be used in different ways. Like discipline. On the programs you may watch on television, especially if you watch sports, because if a sports figure has done something unfortunate, then a lot of times the team is going to discipline him. No, they're not. They're going to punish him or her or whatever. Discipline is self imposed order. That's what discipline is. Self-imposed order. It's not punishment. It's not something that you're going to get if you don't follow the rules or if you broke the rules or if you did something bad. No. You don't get discipline. You get punishment. You may be detained. You may be stricken. You may have a serious fine levied against you. That's punishment. Discipline is self-imposed order. And when you don't impose any order on yourself because you are OC, out of control, then society has to impose it on you. And that's why they build prisons. That's why in this country, the United States, more people are in prison than any country in the world. And for many people, that's hard to imagine that a country like the United States would have more people in prison than any country, more people in prison than in China, more people in prison than in Russia, more people in prison than all these other so-called Eastern Bloc countries. Yes. Because in the United States, they got you believing that you don't have discipline. And so you need to be punished. Although they don't call it punishment. They call it discipline. Discipline is self-imposed order. What do they call studies? What do they call the studies in college? Yes, you're right. Disciplines. They call them disciplines. They don't call them punishment because you have to be committed enough to go through the rigors of study, to learn. Disciplines. That's what they are. Disciplines. Self-imposed order. I impose order on myself because I have control over me. I'm going to school. I know I have to study. I know I have a test coming up. I can't be out partying, playing bid whist all the time. I gotta be disciplined. And a disciplined person is an orderly, controlled person. Discipline. Discipline is power. Well, I say, discipline is control. Power is the ability to define reality. Dr. Wade Nobles has the best definition of what power is. Power is the ability to define reality. Now, the other portion of that saying, power is the ability to define reality and then have others accept your definition as if it's their own. That's what happened. Europeans, Caucasians define reality. We have accepted their reality as if it's our own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves are, who are we in their reality? When they began to wake up coming out of that ice age, and then coming out of that medieval age, we were always negative. We were the soulless people, justifying our captivity. Justifying. Had no culture to speak of. Yes. Power. The ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. And we have accepted their definition. That's not who we are. It is the warrior's way. For without discipline, the determination to do the right thing becomes easily compromised by distractions which grow into seemingly insurmountable obstacles and keeps one's true power just slightly beyond one's grasp. In the Western reality, vices are so much easier to practice and lose oneself in their virtues. It is a child's world designed to be lacking in any meaningful, lasting focus and self-control. A virtuous reality requires internalized self-discipline. It demands hard, honest work. So warriors never stop doing what needs to be done. For only in this way will you find discipline. And know, because of the intensity, awe, pervasiveness, and normalization of an alien way among African people, that you will spend a lifetime fighting that which within is non-African. For warrior, this is the development of discipline. This is the ultimate test of character in this reality. Affirm, I embrace discipline. Ashe. I embrace discipline. Yes, family. Yes, discipline. It is not punishment. Discipline is self-imposed order. And when you don't impose order on yourself, society imposes order on you. They'll put your ass in prison. They may even execute you because you're too out of control. I wouldn't be surprised as America, as they want to decrease population. I mean, this is such a draconian thing happening here. This is ridiculous. It really is. You know? Yeah. We're going to talk about today is that our lives in this hell have been made crazy. Our lives have been made crazy. You know, man. In fact, I saw him this weekend on a piece, Mark Robinson. Mark Robinson is I wouldn't even say that he's an American. I don't want to even, you know, I use the adjectives that Caucasians developed about us, Negro, colored, you know. I wouldn't even dignify him with a proper African title. American African or African American. No, this is straight up Negro. Straight up pathetic. In fact, the Daily Show, the Asian guy, reporter, he's doing a piece on Mark Robinson. And when I heard this, I was like, wow. Now, you know, let me read some of the things that that he is talking about here. North Carolina Republican governor candidate Mark Robinson. That's right, family. He is a candidate for governor upcoming in November. He has a Democratic challenger, and but he's out there. Highlights of Mark Robinson's beliefs: America should return to the time when women couldn't vote. You know, that's very archaic, right there. America, this is his platform. This is who he is. This is how he has been affected with the Urugu virus that has completely lost his damn mind. The Urugu virus. He can use his AR-15 rifle against the government if they don't cooperate. If the government doesn't cooperate and adhere to my dictates or those of like-minded persons, then we have to shut it down. All abortions should be outlawed regardless of how the woman got herself pregnant. Rape, incest, whatever. Woman has no right. Just like a woman shouldn't vote. Just be in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. The Jewish Holocaust never happened. Well, it wasn't a Holocaust. If you understand the definition of a Holocaust, what it was mass murder. And did it amount to the numbers that they say it did? I don't know. And as far as I'm concerned, as I always said, if one was murdered, that's more than enough. So let alone 6 million, you know. 9/11 attack on the Twin Towers was an inside job. Now that I agree with. 9/11 was an inside job. Every September 11th, since I've been on radio, which is 10 years, family. I've been here in Atlanta 10 years in October this year. I came in 2014. And I've always done a program around that time, you know, that 9/11 was an inside job. Too many things that happen and how they happen, man, beg for rational, honest explanation. Beg. And yet the government was still put forth that particular dialogue or that particular rationale. No, family. Nope, 9/11 was an inside job. And many things happened as a result of it globally. Survivors of the Parkland school shooting are spoiled little bastards who want gun control measures. And well, you know what your call said, it didn't happen. What's his name? This loud ass. Oh, man, his name escapes me, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, he got sued big time. Yeah, I think he's off the radio, but if he's not, maybe that's one way he can get him some money. Yeah. The music industry is run by Satan. I ain't going to argue with that one. The entertainment industry is run by Satan. You see the entertainment industry? Oh, man. Period. So, and this is what he said publicly. You can imagine what he said in private. Yeah. If those are the measures he said publicly, man. So what kind of evil, violent, anti-democratic, pro-conspiracy maniac could endorse such a hateful, dangerous candidate? That's right, Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Trump says that this is what a real black man thinks. This is what a real black man. In fact, Mark is like Reverend Dr. King on steroids. Mark. Trump-backed Mark Robinson wins North Carolina GOP primary for governor. And that's coming up in November. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will win. How did he, you know, apparently they can have the governor be one party and the lieutenant governor another party. They separate them too. So they, because I mean, usually the lieutenant governor and the governor are the same party, you know, and they supposedly work together. But, well, anyway. Robinson earned the backing of former President Donald J. Trump over the weekend, who called him Martin Luther King on steroids. On Tuesday, Robinson was projected to defeat Attorney Bill Graham and State Treasurer Bill Falwell in the GOP primary. Robinson, 55, has served as North Carolina's lieutenant governor since 2021. He gained notoriety in the Republican circles after he delivered a pro-gun rights speech that went viral online, which helped propel him to being elected lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor also has received attention in recent years for inflammatory comments about LGBTQ issues, among other things. If elected, he would become the first American, the first Negro governor of North Carolina, unless they had an American African governor back in time of Reconstruction. I don't know. But the bottom line is, this will be the first Negro, real Negro. The race for the governor's mansion is expected to be widely watched and expensive, with Robinson set to face off in a close race against North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein in November. CBS News projected that Stein will win the Democratic primary Tuesday night, and he did. Stein and Robinson are competing for the post currently held by Governor Roy Cooper, a Democrat who is term limited. So he's out. He can't run no more. While Democrats have frequently won the gubernatorial election in recent decades in North Carolina, voters have largely elected Republicans to other offices in recent years and have voted for Republicans in the presidential election since 2012. But some Republicans eager to get the governor's mansion back has warned that Robinson could be a liability. I'll say. North Carolina is expected to be a battleground state in 2024, and the race for governor's mansion will likely mirror the broader political dynamics. With Robinson embracing the mega Republican playbook pushed by Trump and Stein, Stein will likely align with Biden. And let me listen to this piece. This is okay, here we go. Yeah. This is comedy of the Daily Show. So check this out.
Super Tuesday wasn't all about picking which Facebook grandpa gets to control the nukes. There were also primaries for other offices, and one of the most important ones was in North Carolina.
The North Carolina race for the governor's mansion is going to be among the most competitive, and now CNN is projecting that the Republican candidate in that race is going to be Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson,
a favorite among evangelicals, becoming the first black gubernatorial nominee in North Carolina.
Those who want to go into the mud, feel free. Where we're going is we're going towards the substantive issues that all North Carolinians face.
Wow, pretty cool. This guy could be the first black governor in North Carolina history. And it's nice that finally some serious candidates in the Republican Party who are really focused on the issues. So what are these issues?
Ain't but two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women.
He says God calls on men to lead, not women.
Called to be led by men. When it was time to face down Goliath, sent David, not DeVita, David.
There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth.
We could pass a bill saying you can't have an abortion in North Carolina for any reason.
He says the civil rights movement in the 1960s was, quote, crap, and that Martin Luther King was a communist.
Robinson posted the movie Black Panther was, quote, created by an agnostic Jew to pull the shekels out of your Schwarzer pockets, using the Yiddish words for money and black.
He referred to the victims of the Parkland school shooting as spoiled little bastards.
He says the moon landing in 1969 may have been fake. He also says there is a secret ruling cabal that is part reptile.
And said that Beyonce is satanic.
Wow, this guy hates everybody. Gay people, Jewish people, women, school shooting survivors, Beyonce. I mean, this guy is so into hating people, he even hates MLK. I know we're a divided country, but I thought the one thing we could all agree on was MLK good. And by the way, you can't just hate on everyone and leave out the Asians, okay? That's racist. I will give him credit, though. You don't usually hear an anti-Semite busting out Yiddish. It's a very woke form of hatred. So this guy is saying some pretty extreme things. Let me guess how Trump feels about him.
He's been an unbelievable Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
This is Martin Luther King on steroids. Okay, now, I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two.
Wait, MLK times two? Can someone check the math on that? This guy doesn't even like MLK. I think Trump just ranks all black people on a scale of how MLK they are. I had a great golf caddy. I give him 1.5 MLKs. And MLK on steroids?
I kind of wish MLK was on steroids, actually. That really would have sped up the civil rights movement, you know? I had a dream that I was going to beat your ass. Okay, have some rights. Jesus. But Mark Robinson is the perfect symbol of where the Republican Party is at right now, because if you want to really be successful as a Republican, you kind of have to be insane now. And we have Donald Trump to thank for that. He came into politics saying crazy shit. And instead of losing, he became the president. And so now his playbook is the playbook of the party. So like it or not, Trump is kind of a visionary, a trailblazer. I guess what I'm saying is Trump is MLK times three.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls and talk about anything you want to talk about. Anything that perked your interest this past weekend or something that is upcoming, whatever the case may be. But I just kind of label this show that some of us are crazy. And when you see Mark Robinson and how some of these people develop this mindset, you know, to be so adversely affected, you know, it's crazy. It really is. It really is crazy. But when you are consistently beating over the head with images and notions of your inferiority and instilling into you a self-hatred, I could see where some of us would hate ourselves so much that we wish we were white. We wish we were Urugu. We wish we were Caucasian. And we castigate each other. We belittle and demean and degrade our women. Our women, you know, look like there's nothing natural. They got, you know, long hair, long straight hair. And I ain't saying there's something wrong with that. There's nothing really wrong with that. You know, we've been wearing wigs for thousands of years, you know. African women have changed, particularly in higher societies, have been able to change their looks. So I'm not going against that. What I'm going against is the mindset that made us hate ourselves so much, that to deny our humanity and wish we could be white. That we use bleaching cream. Yeah. We're going to take a break, family. When we come back from the break, phone lines are open. Join this conversation. And I don't know if you've heard before of Mark Robinson. I heard him last week or before when he won the Republican primary for governor in North Carolina. And I was wondering why they don't do what other states do in terms of the Democratic governor and the Democratic lieutenant governor. Man, and whatever. Anyway, we'll be right back, family. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
That ended abruptly, didn't it?
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. David Sanborn. Okay, let's get down with some dialogue. Whatever you want to talk about, fam, I threw that out about how crazy we can be because, you know, having seen cats like Mark Robinson over the many years, people who do the bidding of Caucasians, you know, such as. I'll never forget when apartheid was being seriously challenged and they had this Negro who was advocating for the government of South Africa. Nelson Mandela was still in prison. Apartheid was still very strong. And he was advocating that the country of South Africa maintain its position in keeping Africa, the real people whose land it is, from acquiring anything. What we won't do to gain curry and favor to these people. Some of us. That's some of us. I wish we could say the majority of us don't, but the majority of us, honestly, family, go along with this madness because it speaks to us individually. And because it speaks to us individually, you feel that, hey, I'm doing okay. I got a good job or a good business, and I'm doing well. I'm making sometimes six figures or whatever. I live in a very upscale neighborhood, you know, got a nice home. Land is all manicured and beautiful. Inside is immaculate and organized and coordinated. It's all, I mean, you know, the car I got, man. So, no, I'm fine. And if you didn't get yours, that's tough. I'm fine. And that's the sadness of it. Brother Irv, West Coast Irv, what's up, my brother? How you doing? Brother Irv, are you there? Brother Irv.
Baba Oshi.
Yes.
Baba Oshi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Baba. I'm listening to you, man. This is interesting. And I'm going to tell you why it's interesting. I want to jump right into it because I don't want to waste time, but I want other callers to get in to hear what they think. Baba Oshi, we as a people in this country have been slow walked into where we are. 10 years ago, you would never thought you'd see two men on TV kissing each other in the mouth,
right,
or another man wearing a dress. And wait a minute, not only doing this, but applauding for it.
Yeah.
The people in the audience are clapping for this. And they're clapping because they've been rewarded for this behavior. Once a Caucasian had you put on European clothing, it was just a matter of time before he had you start to wear your hair like a European.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was just a matter of time before the things in your head became Europeanized, and then it came out your mouth.
Mm.
And the pinnacle, and what the pinnacle of this to have a person like the gentleman, the brother you were talking about, who has reached the pinnacle of it. In other words, he has completely blackwashed himself.
Yes.
In other words, he's washed all the black out of him, all he thinks he has, because you can never get Africa out of you because Africa's in you,
mm-hmm.
unless you cut off your nose. That's why the white folks shot the nose off the statue.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to shoot your nose off if you're trying to get Africa out of you. But I don't see him doing that. Because the issue that the brother has, and a lot of people have, is they have certain degrees of self-hate.
Right.
When you have self-hate, Baba Oshi, there's nothing that a black person or a black thing or black mindset can do for you, because you hate yourself. You've been taught to hate yourself. Subliminally, you is white. Everything you got on, everything I got on, all the houses I've lived in, all the clothing that come from white people.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. In some form of fashion. See, Baba, this is where the moral erosion happens with black people really quickly. He saved African when he came to this country. He was not a Christian. He practiced his own indigenous religion, and he behaved according to African codes and ethics. See, and white folks couldn't understand it, so they called it savage. They flush Christianity down your throat. And anytime a white person gives you something, it's not going to be for the betterment of you. It's going to be the betterment of him, mm-hmm. for his people, right. his children. And so the seed was planted. And this is what you get when you plant a seed of Christianity or Islam or Judaism in a person who already is a spiritual person. And see, the thing about Africans is Africans believe to be harmony with nature. They believe to survive as a group. They mm-hmm. believe in collective responsibility and cooperation.
Right.
And complementary and independence. See, but Urugu believes in individualism. Individualism, because that's the way to control the masses. When you are dealing with a person who believes in dominating you, and like a puppy, like mm-hmm. a dog. Because believe me, these people were breeding black people. They were breeding us like animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they realized that, my God, these aren't animals. They're actually people. And so they took it down a notch, but they kept the mindset. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have people like this who are, and Trump is only going to be around extreme people. And the Democrats are only going to be around extreme Democrats. If you look at these shows on TV, the CNNs and the MSDNC, if you watch those shows, those people are just as extreme in their point of view as Trump is in his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And they surround them, and people of like mind will gather together. Why do you think you, myself, and Paul, and Love, and the people who call this show, mm-hmm. why do you think we don't agree on everything?
No.
But the one thing we do agree on is on sovereignty and
mm-hmm.
self-determination,
yes.
independence and revolution. Because we don't have to wait for somebody like Trump to come tell me how bad I got it, brother. I have a beautiful car, Baba. What's mm-hmm. considered beautiful? I have mm-hmm. a home. That doesn't mean I'm free. That means I have the things that make me appear to be free.
Mm-hmm.
I appear to be doing better than you. But brother, let me tell you something. When the police come up in here, he don't mm-hmm. ask me what kind of car I'm driving. He asked me to put my hands behind my
That's
back.
Right.
That's what he asked me to do. And it's a black guy that's doing it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So, no, brother, I just wanted to say those things just to give people something to think about. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I know what you're thinking or I can speak for anybody else but myself. But what I do know is that because you surround yourself with things that appear that you have had success, because the only thing, and I believe this to be true with every ounce of DNA in my body, the
mm-hmm.
only thing, the one thing that's the most important thing in your life is your relationship with your creator, relationship with your offspring, relationship with your spouse. Relationship is what gives you energy. Mm-hmm. But I see Papa Ocean calling this show fills my revolutionary tank. Mm-hmm. Okay? Calling this show gives me enough to stand up to Erugu and look at him and do the exact opposite of what he tells me to do or what he wants mm-hmm. me to do or how he wants me to look. Because I have knowledge. And when you beat somebody in the head with knowledge, remember they used to say hit him in the head with the ink pen or beat him with the pencil? Because knowledge.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's important, vitally.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You can punch him in the face all day, but every time you punch, it's going to cost you. When you get into it, and I tell young people, before you haul off and knock this guy's head off, think about the price you're going to pay for that punch. You may get expelled. You may have to start all over again. You may lose your freedom for a little while. But, you know, weigh it out, brother. If it's worth it, knock him out. If you mm-hmm. have what you got to do, what you got to do.
Right.
But think about a better way for conflict resolution, especially when you're dealing with Erugu, because everything is stacked against you. And, you know, I went on like really quickly, and I'm going to stop after this because I want someone else to say what they have to say. I went online and I sent a message to Brother Paul over in England, and he responded back to me. He's a beautiful person, man. I mean, this guy, I can't say enough about him. And that's not to say I agree with everything that everyone says on the show. And I want to keep saying that because when you walk around with a bunch of folk, we look like Donald Trump. Everybody on Donald Trump act like they worship this person. I don't worship no damn person, but I do agree with what you're saying because you're making sense to me. Because I had to uninstall that program that was installed in me. That then you had Christopher Columbus one.
That's right.
And I had to reinstall another.
That's right.
Come on, I had to reinstall. I had to wipe that out and reinstall another operating system
mm-hmm.
because the operating system I was working would never ever get me to where I wanted to be.
Right.
It would always bring me back to. What we gonna do now, Master? That always brought me back to that.
Mm-hmm.
This new operating system gives me a different outlook. It's a brighter system. It's clearer, and I can hear it. I don't have to bend down and get on my knees to operate it. I don't have to tell somebody how great they are and how great thou art. Sit down. I'm good. Brother mm-hmm, OG, thank mm-hmm. you for taking my call.
Always, dear brother.
You know I'm listening.
Thank you,
you know
Irv.
I'm listening
Love
to the
you,
end.
Brother.
Yeah, all right. The struggle continues, brother.
You know it. Peace.
Just let me listen. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. Propose these particular questions to us to get us to think, to get us to go beyond the imposed boundaries that Europeans have put us in and placed us in to control us. And once you are able to step outside of those imposed boundaries and think for yourself, then you look at them in a different way. You recognize them as those who are hindering you from being all that you can be and our people from being all that we can be. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Even though they're the ones who perpetrate this, but we are responsible for getting ourselves out of it. I don't look to Caucasians to do anything. I don't ask them for anything. Except family, that once I get my shit together, leave me the hell alone. And I'm coming back at you because once I get myself together for what you have done, I know I talked to my good friend, fellow firefighter, Brother Jim Wimbush, and we were talking about reparations, you know, because many people don't believe in reparations and the way reparations are constructed and promoted. I'm not down with that either. I don't want just somebody to get a check. Here you are in 21st century America, and our people had suffered all the way from the 1600s, you know. And some of us got free just last century, a few decades ago. I remember reading an article about a sister who still was enslaved in the 70s. So, you know, I'm not looking for somebody to give us a check so we can buy a nice home, move out from the hood, have a nice car. I wish that with the money, if that's what it is, that we will pool that money together and buy businesses and open schools and develop institutions. That's what, to me, reparations is about. Building institutions to repair us. Reparations, repair. The root word of it is repair. And we need to repair us. We do. So I'll be like, you just give me the money and I'm saying what it's for. I ain't asking you. I don't want no limits. I ain't telling you what it's for. Just give me the money. And we do our thing. We build institutions, educational institutions, vocational institutions for sure. Because we need to, I mean, there's so much work to be done, family. We need to make roads and bridges and factories and all kinds of things, family. You know? That's what we should be about. You know, and you have a person like Mark Robinson, a Negro who has been so whitewashed, so self-hating, you know, who believes what he, like I said, there's a few things that he mentioned. I'm not a real big proponent of us having gone to the moon either. You know, but I don't believe the earth is flat. I was watching Abbott Elementary last night. I love Abbott Elementary. I love Quinta Brunson. I love the character development in the sitcom. And they wanted to do something special for Abbott Elementary, for the school and the school's namesake. And they found out the school's namesake was a former captive holder, you know. And so then they found some contemporary relative, and they seemed, and I don't know if they didn't vet him properly, apparently not, because when he went up to the podium, he started talking about the flat earth. He was great up until that point. He was talking about flat earth. And they heard him, rushed him off. But then they saved the day. My young lady, Quinta Brunson, her character, she saved the day. They went back and they saw in Philadelphia that school was a second school that was run by freed Africans. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Paul, we talked you up, my brother. How you doing today, man?
Well, you know, as I always say, I'm just so glad to be alive and kicking Baba Ochi. And, you know, I always have to extend that courtesy and should say to the ether and extend to the Most High, yeah, and give thanks for this glorious life.
I say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Baba Ochi. You know, I was listening to my big brother Herb. And I thank him for the kind words. I absolutely do. But let me get to the point, Baba Ochi. You know, you always say this, and it's true. We have to help each other. We have to help each other.
Yes.
There's no other way to it. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge what's been done to us and what is ongoing being done to us.
Yes.
And for me, the conclusion I come to, what's been done to us, is what they are rolling out a plan they had all along. This started even before they came in contact with us. That this started among themselves. This started in Europe. This started in the feudal system where a group of people took over another group of people and claimed that they were more superior to that group of people and dispossessed them of the land, dispossessed them of their name and title and any redress they had, any rights they had, just reduced them. I'm not even going to say reduce them to an animal because that's unfair on animals. Animals are very intelligent beings, believe it or not, if you really observe them. They're very intelligent. You know, and when an animal is born, it doesn't need to go to any sort of in education indoctrination system to learn how to feed itself. You understand?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's instinctive. Right. It's instinctive. It's instinctive development that the animal goes through.
It's connected. Mm-hmm. It's connected to its divine creator, which we've removed ourselves from. We have come to the idea that we are more superior than our divine creator, and that's what's leading us to the pits of hell. Okay, because we're not. You hold your breath for 5 minutes and you see how superior. You try and hold your breath for even a minute and see how superior you are. Okay, so they've got us under this plan, and I'm going to call it the colonial plan. And it's the same plan from the outset to now. It's not changed. Not one bit of that plan's changed. We are still absolutely, as we speak, by all nefarious means and all kind of nefarious practices being dispossessed from the land. It's the land which supports you and grows you, feeds you, nurtures you. It's the land. And you're being dispossessed by all kind of trickery and foolery, freehold, leasehold, and all kind of holds they have over the people's minds. And the same thing they do to the land, they have over your body. Because they treat your body like it's land. In actual fact, they have convinced the people that they're at sea. People need to look at this. They've convinced you that you're at sea, meaning that when you come down the birth canal, listen to what they tell you, the birth canal. Now, what does a ship do when it comes into port? It comes down the birth canal. Okay? It berths at the dock. And that's where they've put you into. They've referenced you as a ship at sea, as a stranded ship at sea. So that you now have become salvage. So you're salvageable. That's what's happening. They're using so many tricks on us. You've become salvageable. So they're now treating you under mercantile law. Mercantile law. Okay? Then you go to the bank. Listen to how these people. And what are they doing? Playing with the currency. Oh, gee, why don't we wake up? They are playing so many games with us. Yeah? And then they tell you whether you're in the red or the black. Okay? You're in the red or the black. Listen, these are all just tricks and games they're playing on us. And you know what we're doing, Baba Ochi? We're using the same tricks and games thinking that we're going to get ourselves out of it. It's totally madness.
No, it is. We're not. Because it's theirs, not ours.
We're using the same tricks and okay, if we go and vote for the left or the right, we'll get some advantage. Yeah, a few of us do. It's absolutely clear that the majority of us ain't getting nothing. That's how the game's set. The game is set such that it doesn't matter who's in power. They are not the rulers. They are not the power brokers. They are just the management structure. So it doesn't matter who's in power. It doesn't matter if it's Donald, Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, the dump, or it's the other one who's about to fall over any minute time, Joe Biden. It doesn't matter. You're going to get the same result. One's going to do it popular, because they call it popularism. He's going to do it very quickly. And the other's going to do it, as Brother Irv says, he's going to creep you into it. Biden, slow old Biden, is going to creep you into it. He's going to run the same 2020-25 plan, or whatever the damn you want to call it. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to creep it into you. Let me tell you why he's going to do the same thing. Because he ain't in control. He's just giving you the illusion of control. Mm. And I don't think most of them are woken up to that.
Right.
And this is why some people want to come and tell me that when I phone here, I'm telling African Americans what to do. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. I ain't telling no one what to do because I don't care. My job is to send the message. So you can shoot the messenger. That's all my job is, because I'm going to do what I want to do at the end of the day. But I have to give the message. I have to feel good that I've spoken the message, because I'm seeking the truth. I'm not seeking to be anybody's friend, Baba Ochi. I don't come here to beg. Jamaica, they say, we don't come to beg no friend. I don't come here to beg no friend. I don't. I come to spend the message. If you want to take it, you take it. If you don't want to leave, you should do it. Put it in a rubbish bin. That's mm-hmm. what you do. I'm saying that it's a game being played on us. And our thing, we're the original people, Baba Ochi. We're the original people. And I've said it a million times now. I'll keep saying it in this lifetime and the next lifetime. Our only one role is to protect the planet. And we're not succeeding in that, Baba Ochi.
Right.
We're not
no doubt about it. We're failing miserably. We're failing miserably. We're failing. When you look at
and that,
what's
that's
happening
why I have
globally.
A problem. That's why I have a problem. Because all the nonsense talk. Last thing I'm going to say, economics, because you keep hearing about economics. God, that drives me mental. Nobody's ever said this to me. This is not something I've read in a book or someone ever told me. This is the conclusion I come to myself. So I'm willing to take the bullets. I'm willing to be told you're talking absolute crap. I'm willing to be called the fool. I'm willing to be the maverick. I'm willing to be that young person who tells the king he has no clothes on. I'm willing to do that. Now listen about this thing called economics. Let me tell you, these people are talking about economics. I want you to, next time someone suggests to you, Baba Ochi, about economics, ask them the meaning of economics. Ask them what it means. Let them tell you what it means. And I guarantee you, 99.9% of those people haven't even looked up what it means. This is the craziness of our people. And let me tell you what it means. The Latin for economics means home management. That's what it means. It means home management. Now, let me tell you, Baba Ochi, how did I find that out? I ain't no damn Wonder Man knows everything. I just looked in a book.
Right.
Because I thought to myself, people keep talking about this economics. Let me find out what it means. You just go online. And it tells you where the word come from. It comes from a word called Arkanawa, which is a Greek word, which means home management. Now, the problem I have with that is that if I come into your home, Baba Ochi, if I come to America and you invite me to your home and I start telling you what to do in your home, are you going to have a problem with me?
I'd say, yeah.
Of course you are. If I come and start telling you where to put your tables, where to how to run your children, what bills to pay, you're going to think, who the hell is this crazy-ass fool Englishman telling me what right. the hell to do? That's right. what you're going to think.
No doubt.
And you're only going to tolerate it for so long before you start telling me about my MF and all the rest of it, right?
Right.
That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Now, imagine a group of people, one person, his name, Adam Smith, he's telling the whole world how to manage their house. That's what he's telling them. And you call it economics. You come to Africa and you're telling them how to manage their home. And they must sit like they're so dumb and listen to you and say, oh, where did you learn this then? Oh, well, we made it up, but you must accept it. This is what's going on. So when I hear people come and say, oh, economics, I'm thinking to myself, you're going to go and tell a never man how to run his home. And this is what these fools have done. They've done it through their indoctrination falling systems, their schooling falling systems. They've set up things, created out of magic, and come and told you how to run your home. That's why it wasn't made for you and me. It was made for them. Economics was made for them, how after they robbed everyone, how they're going to manage it. That's what they've done. So when we so sillily follow their traps without even looking into what it is, and that's what we do with religion. We just follow it. We don't even look at what it is, really. The same thing they taught us to do with religion, we do with everything. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Brother Paul, thank you. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. We are in a very precarious position. And I come on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday trying to put something on our mind, trying to get us to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have put us in, trying to help us release the vice grip that they have on our minds. And if you understand that tool, once you set the vice grip and you clamp it, you can't open it. You can't open. A strong man can't open it. unless he breaks the thing, which, of course, that's what needs to be done. But there's another way to release the vice grip. There's a knob at the end of the handle. And you can turn that knob to release the tension and the grip that the vice grip has. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. The more knowledge you acquire of self and the more confidence you gain in yourself, the more you know who you are historically, know who you are culturally, that vice grip is broken. And now you can see those who put you in that situation for who and what they are. And you don't challenge them, to hell with them. You become very aware of who they are and very suspicious of anything that they do concerning you. You don't want them in nothing. You don't counsel with them. You don't do a damn thing with them. You just kick their ass to the curb and go on with building your life and your life with your people and your families. And that's the problem. We, because of what has happened to us and the way that the European, the Urugu, projects itself and throws out these images, you feel you got to be a part of that. Yes, I know what they did to me. I know how wrong this has been. But damn, it's just, look at all the trinkets and goodies and all the other things that it presents and all the things that you can have. You know? And I feel that I deserve these things. It is just as much my right as it is anybody else's. That's what you think. That's what you're trained to think. Yeah. Hey, Baba, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man.
Good.
I'm doing great. Listen, this cat Paul, how old is he?
50-something, maybe. Yeah.
Hold on.
He's on.
I'm 53, my brother.
Wait a minute. Hold it. One at a time. Paul, is that you?
Yes, sir. I'm 53.
Paul, my father, I came up in the Garvey. I'm 83. My father started taking me to the Garvey people when I was 15. You sound just like my father. And you 64?
You know. You said something very magic there, you know, and that warms my heart so much. Let me just say this. You know, one day I went to my dad's house, my own dad's house, and I opened the door. Now, he looked at me strange, like he was frozen. I wondered, what's the matter? You know what I mean? I was a bit shocked by it. And he said to me, I thought you were my dad. I swear, that's what he said to me. He said, I thought I saw my dad. Now, sometimes the only way I can make sense of that, is that it's about spirit, isn't it? It's about spirit. Sometimes when we get to know ourselves, we kind of embrace, because we are just the ancestors who came before us. That's
exactly.
All we are.
That's right.
We're just the people who came before us. And for me, the more you start to understand yourself, the more you start to learn about yourself, then you realize there's nothing new under the sun. You're just the people who came before you, and you just have to embrace that. And you be who you be. You be yourself, you know, because most of the time we go through these schooling, fooling systems. They teach us to be other people. They teach us to be what they want so they can fit us in their workplaces or fit us in their industries or whatever. And that's not who we are. We are a long line of people. And this is my own discovery. We are a long line of people who came before us. And that's who we are. And that's who we got to get back to. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Paul. I don't know you. I've never seen you. You could walk up to me and smack me inside my head. I wouldn't know you from Adam. But all I can tell you, I know what you're saying is on the money, because I've been here. I'm 83. I've been hearing this all my life until my father passed away. That was my connection. You understand what I'm saying? My father used to tell me when I was 13, 14, he said, I'm going to tell you things now that you're not going to understand now. But there's going to be a time down the road in your life you're going to have to deal with what I'm telling you. I'm giving you some background so you'll have some idea how to handle this situation when it goes down. See? See, that's love. See, that ain't about hugging you and kissing you and buying you stuff. Information. That's pure love.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if you had the same kind of relationship with your father that I had with mine, but you, I know you righteous because what I'm hearing from you is exactly the things my father told me. So this, it ain't new to me, but it's like, wow, you know.
Sorry to interrupt you, Elder. Sorry to interrupt you, but let me just say this to what you just said, because you asked a very profound question. And because you've asked that very profound question, I have to give you a truthful and honest answer. Right now, I don't have a fantastic relationship with my father. And let me tell you why I don't, from my understanding. Me and my father are very much the same. We look the same. When I look at pictures of my father, he's like, we almost look like identical twins. We look the same, and we have the same kind of fire and everything, yeah? And I think when you're like that, you clash a lot. And my father is, he's embraced Christianity. That's what my father's done. And I grew up as a Christian. But when I started to read, and understand things, I feel that my understanding went beyond just being identified as a Christian. So obviously we kind of clash on that. But at the end of the day, he's still my father. And another thing I must tell you, Elder, since you asked so much profound question, my granddad, which is his father, I get to realize, because I didn't know him, I'm going to have to be honest here, he was a bit of a wild man when he came to this country. He wasn't a religious man. He was a man who probably gambled a lot. He enjoyed women a lot. He drank a lot. He was that kind of man. But I also know he was a man that he was dedicated 100%. He had a lot of morals, and he didn't like disloyalty. And I know that about myself. I don't like disloyalty. I like people who are loyal, and I am very loyal. And so I share a lot of the some of the good about him and some of the bad about me. I've been told that by my father many times, that I remind him of his father. So the reality of it is that profound question you asked, which is touching to me because it's real, is I really found myself one day when I met up with my grandfather's brother, and he started to explain my grandfather to me. And I thought he was talking about me, and it reduced me to tears, because some of the things all the things he said about my grandfather was me, and I never knew him. So, you know, I then realized that some of the things we do, I used to fight a lot. Some of the things we do, we can't always hold it. Sometimes it's in our DNA, if you get where I'm coming from. So we inherit the good and the bad. But I'm just trying to put that message out there. So if you hear it, Elder, I totally, absolutely respect that, because it gives me confirmation that I'm on the right path.
No, you listen, you are on the right path. You understand? In fact, you got your own path. Your path is leading, listen, Paul, when you was a boy, a kid, when you was coming up as a little boy, you know, whatever, when did the light hit you? There's a time, regardless of your father or whatever your surroundings are, because I know you didn't get along with everybody coming as a kid.
You know, you're too brilliant. You're too brilliant.
He is, man.
You're too brilliant.
Paul, let me finish this. See, I know your path coming up as a kid. You had to work. What you had to be concerned about most of the time was your safety, because you, like me, come up around people in your neighborhood, your hood, playing the whole nine yards. You were not connected to them. You just went along to get along to be on the safe side. I know the deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know the deal.
Let me answer that question, Paul.
What I want to know is, as a kid, this hit me in the first grade. But what I'm saying is, I want to know, and I know you remember, as growing up as a kid, a little boy, when did things started making sense? Say, wait a minute, you know, like I always say, I got off on the wrong planet. See, when did you realize that, you know, things are out of order, even in your family? But I always said, I got off on the wrong planet. When did you realize there was something going down?
You know, like you rightfully say, absolutely. As long as I know myself, I think I knew that there was something different. I knew that. Absolutely. All right, and that question there, I have memories going back to when I was a boy, yeah. I used to ride a bike. Where I used to live, we used to be predominantly white. And I remember a white boy asked me to ride my bike, and I gave him the bike, and he wouldn't get off of it. And then when I eventually started to confront him, he attacked me. And I was only, I must have been about four or five.
Okay, I had the same experience. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I couldn't, obviously I was 4 or 5 and he was bigger than me and I couldn't defend myself. And I remember him kicking me and I was on the floor. And I remember thinking in my head, right, although he was kicking me and I couldn't fight back, I remember thinking that I'm not hurt, meaning that even I didn't feel the pain. It was like I went into a different zone. And I think at that point, I realized that, you know, what I had to do. But I think let me be honest with you, where everything cemented itself for me, where it all made sense, because I spent a lot of time fighting on the street, getting into all kind of situations, mad situations. But I think when it came clear to me, when my daughter was born, when I was 18. I was 18 when she was born. And at that point, I realized I can't live like this anymore. I had to make sense of everything, because I wasn't living for myself. Let me tell you something. Before that, before a certain age, I was living like a crazy person. I carried a knife. I had access to guns. I had done all kind of things, man. I did.
You had to protect yourself. I got that. Yeah.
When my daughter was born, everything changed for me in my head. Everything changed. Everything changed.
Paul, what time is it where you at now? What time is it?
It's 4:47.
4:47. Listen, man. I want OJ. OJ. Can you imagine? I want OG. To give you my number. You call me anytime, morning, noon, or night. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm grateful.
I want OT, whatever. Give Paul my number.
Paul, sure will.
Call me anytime you feel like it, morning, noon, and night. If you leave a message, I'm going to get right back to you. But because, you know, listen, you on it, man. I never thought I would hear a cat that much younger than me. I mean, damn. I mean, you're not actually blowing my mind, but what a relief for me at my age. I've been dealing with this bullshit since I can remember the first grade. The first day I went to school, public school, I think, I don't know what it was, 7, 8, whatever year. I don't remember what the age was. I had the first day of school. My mother took me to school with the bullshit, the parents bring you to school and the teachers welcome me and blah, blah, blah. Okay. I sit down, Miss Sarah, never forget as long as I live. The first lie, I probably had lies all up until that point. I wasn't paying any attention. She told us the first day of school, the topic was George Washington never told a lie. I'm a baby. The first day, listen, the first day of the first grade, first day, Miss Sarah. I knew right away. I didn't even know who George Washington was, but I knew that was a lie. She said, George, that was the getting us prepared to fess up to these whatever you want to call these people, think they running the world or something. I knew that was some bullshit. Mm-hmm. I sat there. I didn't say nothing. My father always asked me when I come home from school, especially when I started school. He said, what did they tell you today? Well, I didn't make no big. I said, George Washington. When they asked him, did he cut his father's cherry tree down? George Washington, yes, Dad, Father. My father said to me, do you believe that? And that's when I said, well, this is school. The teacher. He said, I didn't ask you. He said, do you believe that? And then I said to myself, okay. I said, okay. He wouldn't give me no ifs, ands, or buts. He just said, do you believe that? And from that day on, I started questioning everything everybody told me, religion, you name it.
Absolutely.
How does that work? Where did you get that from? Who told you that? Blah, blah, blah. That's what the first Miss Sarah, I never forget it. P.S. the old 57 in Brooklyn on Reed Avenue and the other course, I forget Vernon or whatever it was. They tore the building down. As I got older, from time to time I would go ride back through there because I moved out of the neighborhood. And I would sit in my car and remember the first day of school. They would jump there on. But my father asked me, do you believe that? And I said, wow. I said, wow. From then on, I even questioned him. I questioned him. He told me, son, he said, we didn't have debates because I couldn't debate with him because he was way ahead of me. But certain things he would say to me, and I said, well, how does that work? He said, now you're thinking. You're asking questions.
Exactly.
You understand? But listen, I'm gonna let somebody else talk to you, man, because I done heard more than enough from you. So check this out. Ochi, I'm telling him right now, give him my number. You call me anytime you feel like it, Paul. Because, you know, I live in New Mexico. You call me anytime you feel like morning, noon, or day. If I'm sleeping, leave a message, say this, Paul, from across the pond. Because I've been to England once playing ball with the military. In the military, I was in the army. We went to England to play some ball. Anyway, but listen. Yeah, I've been there. This was back in 1962. Just before they had the Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't even know if he was born then. You know what I'm saying?
No. I was.
You call me anytime you feel like it, morning, noon, and night. You want to talk? You want to exchange? We ain't really got a lot to talk about at this point. See, we pretty much know what each other's thinking.
That's right. Y'all do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, y'all on that same thing. Yep.
Okay, Paul, brother Paul, it's my pleasure. Believe me, you made my day. You understand?
Thank you. I'm very humbled, very, very humbled, extremely, extremely humbled.
Okay, that's.
Because I know exactly what you. Growing up, you had a lot of, you had to be sharp because everybody want to knock you off. I know this from the get go, verbally, physically, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, I done been through all that bullshit, and all them people that I grew up with, they all gone. They're out of here. But listen, that's it, man.
Brother Paul, you two have been conversing, and that's Baba Butch. That's Baba Butch. He's from New York. He knows some of the great ball players in New York, and coming up in there, Roger Brown and so forth. And now he's in New Mexico. Now he's in Albuquerque area. Okay, I'm going to give you the numbers. I'm gonna find a way to either text them to you or email them to you.
Baba,
okay?
just one request, yeah.
Sure.
I don't know if he's on WhatsApp. I know sometimes people are not familiar with how it works. But,
okay,
you want me to
send it to WhatsApp? I sure will.
Yeah, if you could just that can work. Man.
Okay,
that can definitely
I'll do
work.
That.
I mean, yeah,
I'll do
you.
That.
Thank
I'll do that after the program is over, Brother Irv. Go ahead.
Baba OG, I just wanted to chime in. And just co-sign on what the brother was just saying about Brother Paul. He's a very inspirational speaker when he speaks. And you know, I hear the brother prophesizing. In other words, he's saying things about Paul, and he's never met Paul. And he's right on point with it because Paul lives, to me, his life is like an open book. It's very similar to you, Baba Oshi. When you speak, I don't even question what you're saying because you speak strategically. And Paul does that also. And I know Paul is real because I've already seen the brother on WhatsApp. So
I know
he exists in real life.
Yeah.
But he when he says things, it does inspire you. It does make you think about your life and what you've gone through. And we've all, basically the people who call this show are all trying to get to the same place. We just may be taking different roads.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, I'm not just like Paul, and I'm not just like Baba Oshi. I'm not just like the brother that came on. I remember him, and I like listening to him speak.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was that old. My
yeah,
God.
Yeah, 83,
that's
man. 83.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would never know that listening to him.
Yeah.
He is sharp, like old supposed to be not sharp, okay. But he's sharp. I mean, and he's interesting to listen to. His thoughts are clear and precise. In other words, Paul and him remind me of each other because they say exactly what they mean. And I can tell they mean it. So that is powerful, Baba Oshie. This show does a lot for me. I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, but it does a lot for me. It makes me
Irv.
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me, Irv?
Yes.
Listen, Irv, you have to say what you mean because there's no other way. You understand? If you ain't saying what you're seeing and what you're feeling, you're full of shit. You understand what I'm saying? You say you only hear one time that I know of.
Yeah.
You understand? You don't play with your life. You don't play with other people's lives.
Right.
See? So you say what sometimes you step on people's toes. They might come back a week or month or a year. I've had people come back 5 years later at reunion, basketball reunion, say, you know, Butch, you know, what you told me 5 years ago, man, that really jumped off. I said, well, I'm telling you what I see. You don't have to accept it, but I'm telling you what I know or what I see or what I've seen happen to other people who are close to me. If it happened to them, it could happen to me. So you tell people where you're coming from. You don't have a lot of friends, whatever that's supposed to mean. You see? But you tell people what you see. Everybody don't see what you see. You understand what I'm saying? But there are those who don't see at that particular time, they'll back off and they'll come back later at some particular some will never agree with you just because they think you smarter than them. And you are. You're more perceptive than they are. But you tell people, wives, see, women, children, I tell them what I see. And when they scatter, they ain't got no business around me from jump. They got no business around me. So I'm going to leave that with you. You got that.
You know, it's my birthday tomorrow, right?
Is that right?
You what, right?
Get on.
Paul, my birthday was this past Tuesday, March the 5th. I was born
Wow. So we're both the same star sign. But listen, you know, I'm not really one to push that out there, and probably this is the first time I pushed it out there. But this is the best birthday present, and I'm going to tell you why. The objective of me spreading this message is to tell us that we are family, we are one, right? That's despite what flags they want to put us under, what titles they want to give us, what accents we speak, we come from the same root and we got to protect that root. And that is my objective. And you've helped me to do that today. So it's the best birthday present I could receive. Thank you.
Ashe, beautiful family.
Ashe.
Yeah.
Ashe.
Yeah. Cause well, let me tell you about brother Bush.
OG, you get that brother my number.
I sure will.
Okay. Like I said again, I know you ain't got no time, but listen, all I can tell you, man, is I love you guys. I really love you guys. I love you because of your tenacity. You know, you on it. You're trying to find out how things work. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I'm out. I'm finished. Thank
right
you.
On. Brother. That's Baba MVP, Baba Butch, man. Baba Butch, good man, beautiful man.
My sixth man.
Yeah. Let me get this sister in right quick before we have to close. Please. Out. Sister Habia.
Greetings, and I just wanted to say Faraha Kusaliwe to Father Paul, and that we love you. We are our family. And
thank
you. Appreciate you, Baba Oshie, and everyone else too.
Thank you, dear. Appreciate that. You know,
and it's a great program.
Yeah.
All right. So, we are family, and it's beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bibi Fahodie.
Bibi Fahodie.
Bibi Fahodie. Our victorious destiny. Yep. So it. I got to close out, family. This has been great. Thank you, Baba Butch. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, Baba Irv, man.
You
guys are
thank you.
Who called in, man. Thank you. So hope to see you guys on Wednesday. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and be safe out there, family. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace.